Oh, where is this radio program for seniors? I can't find it. Errol, what's this radio thing called that we're looking for seniors?
Oh, I don't know, Arthur. Isn't it wireless something or something wireless? You should have written it down when I told you to.
Hang on. I think this might be it.
You're listening to Radio Coda.
Found it.
Hello and welcome back to Radio Coda, a weekly podcast radio show for older Queenslanders, proudly brought to you by the Council on the Ageing Queensland. I'm your host Andy Neal, and as always, it's great to have your company. So grab a cuppa, put your feet up, and let's see what we've got in store for you on the show this week.
Founded in 1957, Council on the Ageing, CODA Queensland, is a not-for-profit organisation advancing the rights, needs and futures of people as we age. Working in partnership with the Queensland Government, local councils, community organisations and the community to create an age-friendly Queensland. To join or to find out more, visit cotaqld.org.au or phone 1300 738 348.
Radio Coda.
This week, we're proud to bring you part one of our new series on human rights and how they relate to older people and people with disabilities. Over the next few weeks, we'll be bringing you some great interviews and informative information on this incredibly important subject. So let's get to it. We hope you will enjoy the following interview, the first in the Radio Coda series on human rights. Our special guest on Radio Coda today is Graham Innes. Graham is a lawyer, mediator, company director, and was Australia's Disability Discrimination Commissioner from 2005 to 2014. Born totally blind and raised by loving parents who treated him the same as his siblings, an experience that Graham firmly believes has benefited him right through his life, he grew up in Sydney and graduated with a law degree from the University of Sydney in 1978, going on to specialise in social justice and human rights law. Throughout his career, he has held leadership positions in disability advocacy organisations. He was chair of the Royal Blind Society and the first chair of Vision Australia. As chair of the Commonwealth Disability Advisory Council of Australia, Graham oversaw passage through government of the Disability Discrimination Act in 1992. In 2005, Graham was appointed as Australia's Disability Discrimination Commissioner, also serving as Australia's Human Rights Commissioner and as Race Discrimination Commissioner, contributing to many human rights reform initiatives and participating in the drafting of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities and its ratification in Australia. Well known for his inspiring speeches and opinion pieces, Graham is very comfortable with using social media and is a regular user of Twitter, using this platform to provide timely media commentary. Among a plethora of awards, Graham was made a member of the Order of Australia in 1995 for service to the community and his work on disability anti-discrimination policy. He was also shortlisted as a nominee for Australian of the Year in 2004. An avid sailor and cricket enthusiast, it's our immense privilege to be speaking today with Graham Innes. Good afternoon and a very warm welcome to Radio Coda.
Thanks very much. Great to talk with you.
Well, it's our pleasure to be speaking with you, Graham, and we greatly appreciate you making the time to chat with us today. I know that you are very, very busy. Just as a bit of background, going back a little bit to your time as Australia's Disability Discrimination Commissioner, and that was a 9-year period, I believe.
Yes, from 2005 to 2014.
Right. And you were involved in so much groundbreaking work on behalf of Australians with disabilities. Could you just perhaps share with us a little of some of the experiences you had during your time as a commissioner?
Well, it was a great time to be a commissioner. There was a fantastic team at the Australian Human Rights Commission, and we worked on things such as standards to set the requirements in public transport
right. And
in access to premises so that access was available to those areas for people with disabilities. I was involved in work around the development of the Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities, which is the United Nations treaty which deals with disability issues, to which Australia is now a signatory.
Yes.
And I was involved with work to increase captions on television for people who are deaf or hearing impaired, although everyone benefits from the captions, really.
For sure.
As well as in the movies and in cinemas. And we got audio description in cinemas. Sadly, we don't yet have audio description, which is information about what's being seen on the screen for people who are blind or have low vision.
Yes.
We don't yet have that on television. We're still waiting for that.
Right.
I was involved in banking standards to make FPOS and ATMs and online banking more accessible. So, yeah, there were a lot of initiatives over that 9-year period in the disability space. And as well, I served as Human Rights Commissioner for about 3 years and as Race Discrimination Commissioner for almost 2. So it was a pretty busy time.
I'm sure it was, but a time clearly that you enjoyed very much.
I loved it. It's the best job I've ever had. I was really pleased to have the opportunity to be at the forefront of developing new policies in these areas because, you know, the thing about access for people with disabilities is that it benefits a so much broader section of the community. Older people, and I'm in that category now, we certainly benefit from physical access because it's easier to get up ramps for us in some cases than stairs. We benefit from improved hearing services. We benefit from announcements on trains and on public transport. And that was another thing that I was involved in obtaining. And I ran a case against Sydney Trains because they weren't providing those.
Yes.
And we benefit from captions on television. So in a whole lot of ways, older Australians are better off as a result of the access requirements for people with disabilities.
Yes, very much so. A few years ago, I used to work in the disability services and I did a lot of training with young people. And I had a video at the time that was made of your good self when you were in that particular role there. And I think it was about a 10 or 15 minute piece that was put together. And it started off with your day with your dog on the train in the northern suburbs there and heading into town and in the office. And it was such an inspiring piece for the people that I had in my training groups. They could see there just how much you loved what you were doing and how much of a heart you had for people with disabilities. And it made a real difference in some lives back there. I just thought I'd share that with you.
Well, thank you. It's called A Day in the Life. It's on YouTube.
That's the one.
Quite easy to find.
Yep.
And it only runs for about 3 or 4 minutes. Or the segment on me does. I think there's some others as well there. But they're very useful videos for training or for watching and just becoming more aware of the issues that impact on people with disabilities.
Nobody can predict the future, so planning ahead can bring peace of mind to you, your family, and your friends. Planning ahead can ensure your financial, medical, and personal wishes are respected and followed. Coda Queensland have developed information sessions about choosing an enduring power of attorney, planning ahead, and how to identify key people in your life who know and respect you, and, should they be required, will act on your wishes. These sessions are free, interactive, and available from February 2017 until May 2018 in various locations throughout Queensland. If you're part of a community or seniors group and think this session would benefit your members, contact bookings@cotaqld.org.au or phone 1300 738 348 for more information or to make a booking for your community or seniors group. This project is funded by the Queensland Government, Department of Communities, Child Safety and Disability Services, with the support of the Public Trustee.
What are we listening to?
Radio Coda.
One of the other things that we did at the Commission, interestingly, is that we made 25-minute films called 20 Years, 20 Stories.
Right.
And they tell 20 stories of people who lodged complaints using the Disability Discrimination Act over its 20 years of existence. They came out in 2013. And they are still very broadly used and very useful tools in terms of advocacy and public awareness.
Graham, I'm a person that's about the same vintage as yourself, also living with a disability. And so much of these sort of things, I find that there are people like me around that sometimes you just feel a little bit Robinson Crusoe and you're on your own. And having that sort of shared experience from others does help you to feel like there is a community, there is a family there that you're a part of.
There absolutely is, and that's really important. I'm glad you've mentioned that.
Mm.
In that context, none of us are on our own.
Mm.
The issue that we face as a person with a disability or as an older person almost inevitably will have been faced by someone else before, and it's worth checking out those sorts of things, because if you got a problem with a council, let's say, just pick for an example, you know, a problem with a council getting access to a town hall or getting, you know, access to a pedestrian crossing.
Yes.
There are stories in those 20 years, 20 stories of people who've done it before. And it's really a good thing to be able to show that to the council and say, well, here, look, this is what this person did. I don't want to have to do that. Can't we work this out? Can't we work out a solution?
Graham, I guess that leads us into your current work with the Attitude Foundation. What's that all about and what's your role with that?
Well, when I left the commission, I realised that the biggest, or not when I left, I knew it while I was there too.
Right.
The biggest problem that people with disabilities face is the attitude barrier. And if we could change attitudes towards us as people with disabilities, then a lot of the other problems that we experience would be resolved because people would see the benefit of that resolution.
Yes.
So I started a foundation and I now chair the board called the Attitude Foundation. And what we will do is that we'll have people with disabilities tell our own stories, not as heroes, not as victims, but as agents of our own destinies, just getting on with our lives, of all the ordinary things that we do in our lives, you know, going to work, participating in the community, getting out and about, joining our local activity, whatever it might be, you know, golf or bowls or some sort of volunteering activity.
Yeah.
And those stories will demonstrate to the broader general public the ability and the capacities of people with disabilities. And we're going to do this on television.
Mm-hmm.
We're close to being at the point where we will make a pilot program. And if that's successful, that will help us to raise funds for the making of the whole series. So that's where I've put a lot of my energy in the last 2 or 3 years. And very happy to have the support of others if you're interested. We're at attitude.org.au.
That sounds wonderful. Something that we all should see how we can get involved.
Mm.
Radio Coda has been created for you, our listeners. Email us at radiocota@cotaqld.org.au to give us your feedback, offer topic suggestions, share your stories and let us know what interests you. Radio Coda is funded by the Department of Communities, Child Safety and Disability Services in Queensland. Send us a line, we would love to hear from you.
You're listening to Radio Coda.
Graham, you're not a person that shies away from social media. I know you're quite a keen Twitter person. I do follow you on there. Not that long ago, your current guide dog went walkabout.
Yeah, she did. She ran away for a bit and I put that on Twitter and I think it trended in Sydney and in Australia for a while there, which might be a term that many of your listeners are familiar with, but that means it got retweeted a whole lot of times by other people on Twitter.
It certainly did.
Anyway, she actually came back of her own accord, but we didn't know that she was going to do that, of course.
Mm.
But in the meantime, we had a lot of people in the local suburbs in the north of Sydney looking out for her, which is really very supportive.
That is indeed. I remember following that with great interest. And I suppose guide dogs need a holiday occasionally as well.
Yeah. I just like it to be a bit more planned.
Yeah. And at least leave a note.
My dog writes a blog. She gets onto my computer when I'm asleep and she blogs on my website. So anyone who's interested in the thoughts or views of guide dogs can have a look at that at www.grahaminnis.com. And for radio listeners, I probably should tell you that my Graham is G-R-A-E-M-E. So it's grahaminnis, all one word, .com.
Right. Wonderful. I have actually read through those blogs. They're fascinating stuff. I love it. Graham, just very quickly as well, I know our time is short here, but I remember on that particular video I spoke with you about just being quite blown away by the technology that you used. And I know that in our getting together with you, we've had emails going backwards and forwards. So for those not familiar with the technology that you use, with a vision impairment, what do you actually use to assist you in reading emails and even preparing speeches, tweets and whatever?
Well, I have an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the speech turned on that. Every iPhone has speech output. It's just that most people don't have it turned on. I have got the speech turned on my iPhone.
Right.
And I also use a small Braille computer, and I can connect that to the iPhone so that it acts as a keyboard for the iPhone. Although I use Siri a lot on the iPhone as well, so I dictate my input as well using Siri.
Okay.
And my iPhone really is never very far away from me. Well, I've actually got an Apple Watch which is strapped to my wrist pretty much all of my waking hours.
Right.
And I use it for everything. I use it for emails, for Twitter, for Facebook, for talking on the telephone and using FaceTime. I read books on my phone. I use it for GPS navigation. So, yeah, it gets hammered pretty solidly.
I bet it does.
Mm.
It's just wonderful, the technology we have now that just opens up so much.
It is, yeah. You may not be aware that I wrote my autobiography last year.
I wasn't aware of that.
It was launched last year, published through UQP.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Finding a Way, and it's also obtainable at my website. So if people want to know a bit more about me, that's probably the best way to get it.
Well, there's a wonderful gift I can suggest to my wife for Father's Day.
That'd be great. You can promote it in that way.
Yeah, now I'm in the good books after looking after her well on Mother's Day.
Yeah, that's right.
That's fantastic. Our special guest today has been Graham Innes. And Graham, thank you so much again for taking the time to share with us. We very much appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to talk with you, and best wishes to all your listeners. And I hope that I've given you something that causes you to think a little bit more as your day proceeds.
Thank you again, Graham.
You're welcome. Cheers. Bye.
You're listening to Radio Kota.
We interrupt our normal Radio Kota programming for an important news flash. Here's a timely warning about a telephone scam currently active in Australia, where someone claiming to be from Telstra Technical Support calls you to advise you that your computer has become a target of hackers and insisting that they need to provide your computer with protection to prevent imminent disaster. ScamWatch and Telstra Australia are warning customers to hang up the phone if they receive a phone call out of the blue from someone claiming there is a problem with their internet connection or with their computer. There's been a surge in reports of scammers calling people at home and raising a false alarm that they're at risk as their computer has been hacked or infected with malware and is threatening Telstra's internet infrastructure. The caller claims that they're able to fix the problem on the spot, however, a fee for this service will need to be paid and the person will also need to download software that will allow the caller remote access to their computer. These scammers are also very good at creating a sense of urgency to incite fear and anxiety that your computer has been compromised and must be fixed immediately. If you provide your credit card details and give remote access to your computer, the scammer may not only take more than the stated fee, but also infect your computer to gain access to your personal information and commit other acts of fraud. They can even clean out your bank account. Watch out, scammers know how to press your buttons when they get you on the phone. If you receive a call out of the blue from someone claiming to represent Telstra and they ask for access to your computer, just simply hang up. Now, the way this scam works is that you receive a phone call from out of the blue from someone claiming to be a representative of Telstra, and they can sound legitimate, claiming to be from Telstra Technical Support and using quite technical jargon. The caller claims that you need to take immediate action as your computer has been hacked or infected with malware. In order to fix the problem, the caller will claim that you will need to pay them a service fee, usually around $20, to have a specialist look at your computer. They will also ask you to download a software program so that they can gain remote access to your computer and run a scan. The scammer may initially sound professional and knowledgeable, however, they will be very persistent and may become abusive if you don't do what they ask. If you provide your financial details or give remote access, you might find a lot more money taken out of your bank account than you agreed to, with some victims reporting losing over $5,000 from multiple withdrawals. Your computer may also be infected with malicious software, giving scammers access to your personal details stored on the device, including your bank information. Now please note, you don't have to be a Telstra customer to be called by these scammers. You don't even have to own a computer. So how can you protect yourself from this happening to you? Telstra offers the following tips to avoid phone scams. If you're not sure that the person on the other end of the phone is legitimate, hang up and call the organisation by using their official contact details, not a number that the scammer may have given to you. Be wary of sharing personal credit card or banking details over the phone. Never give an unsolicited caller remote access to your computer. Make sure your computer is protected with regularly updated antivirus and anti-spy software. If your alarm bells are ringing or you think that something's not quite right, as we said, just simply hang up. You can report scammers by calling Telstra on 1800 260 270 or by visiting the Is It Really Telstra Calling website.
Radio Kota.
You know, Arthur, this weather's been so hot, I reckon our electricity bill's going to go through the roof, and we haven't even been using our air conditioner this summer. Every time the power bill comes in, I feel like it's been written in another language. It's just so hard to understand. Prices are forever changing and those tariff thingies are so confusing.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. My old mate Bert was saying there were changes made in the electricity market last year, which means electricity retailers can charge us whatever they want. Bert said it also means now that we can shop around for a better deal.
Be that as it may, Arthur, it's all too confusing, and I just don't have the time to be chasing around trying to sort it all out.
Well, you won't have to worry about that, Beryl. Have you heard about the Switched On Seniors?
No, I haven't. Switched On Seniors? Sounds like some kind of head-banging rock band.
Ah, you're a funny old bird you are, Beryl. No, it's a free information session that's being offered to seniors groups, and it helps explain all the electricity changes.
Well, that certainly sounds like a good idea, Arthur. Do you think they'd do one of those information sessions where our seniors group usually meets?
Well, that's the great part. You know that Radio Kota podcast thingy we listen to each week? Well, apparently the Kota Queensland people have what they call peer educators, and they travel all over southeast Queensland visiting seniors groups just like ours.
Well, that certainly makes it a lot easier. Let's sign up for that then.
I totally agree with you, my darling. So can you get on to organising that, please? I'm just a wee bit busy at the moment.
Busy? You're sprawled out in that old armchair of yours watching the cricket. Don't put your feet on the coffee table. You must have been born in a shed.
Opportunities are limited, so book early to secure a session for your seniors group or organisation. Visit www.cotaqld.org.au to obtain a booking form or email bookings@cotaqld.org.au. Here on Radio Kota, it's time for the news.
What exactly are human rights? According to the Australian Human Rights Commission, they recognise the inherent value of each person, regardless of background, where we live, what we look like, what we think, or what we believe. They are based on principles of dignity, equality, and mutual respect, which are shared across cultures, religions, and philosophies. They are about being treated fairly, treating others fairly, and having the ability to make genuine choices in our daily lives. Respect for human rights is the cornerstone of strong communities in which everyone can make a contribution and feel included. All people, no matter their age, sex, colour, religion, or where they live, have the same basic needs to live a healthy life. These needs include food, shelter, education, healthcare, and freedom from persecution and discrimination. Through the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the governments of the world agreed that people have a right to have these basic needs met. Denying people their basic rights not only leads to the personal suffering of individuals, it can result in conflict and unrest in societies. The Australian Human Rights Commission leads the promotion and protection of human rights in Australia, resolve complaints of discrimination or breaches of human rights under federal laws, develop education programs and resources for schools, workplaces and the community, provide independent legal advice to assist courts in cases that involve human rights principles, provide advice and submissions to parliaments and governments to develop laws, policies and programs, and undertake and coordinate research into human rights and discrimination issues. Given all this, why doesn't Australia have a Human Rights Act? Australia is one of the only Western democratic nations that doesn't have a Human Rights Act or a Bill of Rights. In Australia, human rights are protected in different ways. Unlike most similar liberal democracies, Australia has no Bill of Rights to protect human rights in a single document. Rights may be found in the Constitution, common law and legislation, Acts passed by the Commonwealth Parliament or state or territory parliaments. Australians are firmly committed to democratic values and we have a strong sense of a fair go. Living in a modern democracy, we appreciate the importance of having laws that ensure all people can live in safety, in freedom, and with dignity. As such, Australians are big supporters of human rights. In October 2016, Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk committed to introducing a Human Rights Act in Queensland, modelled on the Victorian Charter of Human Rights and Responsibilities Act 2006. This has been considered a significant step towards achieving individual dignity and equal opportunity for all Queenslanders. While this was a welcome announcement from the Premier, there has been some movement on this front. However, with an election looming, there is the possibility that this progress will be lost. There are still significant steps that need to be taken until a Human Rights Act becomes a reality for Queenslanders. For human rights legislation to be passed, a majority vote of Queensland's parliamentarians is required. Queensland Anti-Discrimination Commissioner Kevin Cox has stated that human rights belong to all Queenslanders. Queensland desperately needs the cultural reform that would come from a Human Rights Act, and the time for that reform is now. Queensland can learn from and improve on the Victorian Charter. Strengthening the way that Queenslanders' human rights are respected, protected and fulfilled is one of the most important contributions a Parliament can make to future generations. To spread the word or learn more, visit www.humanrights4qld.com.au. Budget update on aged and disability transport. A two-year extension of the Commonwealth Home Support Program, which is a prime funding source for transport services for older Australians, was announced in last week's 2017 budget. The budget also provided good news for NDIS participants, with continued funding for the NDIS being provided through a 0.5% increase in the Medicare levy. With the NDIS being rolled out across Australia, there have been numerous reports of underfunding of transport in NDIS packages, with transport being highlighted as a major issue. The lack of access to transport contributes significantly to the reduction of people with disability accessing much-needed transport to and from services and supports. Transport is an enabling service that assists people with disability and older Australians to connect to their communities. There is great hope that these budget inclusions will ensure people's transport needs are placed as a high priority and that people can continue to enjoy their lives the way they choose. Treasurer Scott Morrison also announced a commitment of $80 million for Australians with mental illness, severe depression, eating disorders, schizophrenia and postnatal depression resulting in psychosocial disability, including those who have been at risk of losing their supports or services due to the transition of the NDIS. This budget also provides $33 million to ensure NDIS participants and older Australians requiring aged care services can access quality services in their local area. The Local Care Workforce Package will increase the number of local workers available to meet the demand from new entrants into the NDIS, as well as preparing for an influx of care needs because of the nation's ageing population. On the 11th of May, groundbreaking research into seniors living in public housing in the Logan area was released. The Logan Research Project was undertaken by Brisbane Housing Company in partnership with Churches of Christ Queensland and researchers from the University of Queensland. The survey included more than 150 Logan seniors aged over 55 who live in government housing. One of the learnings from the research project included that while most tenants were satisfied with their home, some had concerns about whether their homes would still be suitable for their needs in 5 years' time. The learnings from this report are being included in the Palaszczuk government's new 10-year housing strategy, with the government being informed about seniors needing suitable and affordable housing, encouraging the building of homes which are safe, accessible, affordable and comfortable for people as they age, allowing them to continue to live in their communities. The research results are helping to inform future development and refurbishment projects in Logan as part of the Better Neighbourhoods Logan Precinct Rejuvenation Plan, as well as the housing strategy. For more information on Better Neighbourhoods Logan, please visit www.betterneighbourhoods.engagementhq.com. The Queensland Police Service officers and staff have been rewarded at the inaugural QPS Domestic and Family Violence Prevention Awards held during Domestic and Family Violence Protection Month for their innovation and commitment to the prevention of violence in our communities. Police Minister Mark Ryan congratulated the award winners and praised their dedication towards the prevention of domestic and family violence. Police respond to approximately 250 domestic violence incidents around the state daily, or around 87,000 incidents each year, and are often faced with harrowing situations requiring both sensitivity and fortitude. The innovative work these officers and staff are doing is a testament to their professionalism and unwavering commitment to prevent domestic and family violence, protect victims, hold perpetrators to account, and contributing to building safer communities. We'll be right back.
Radio Kota is produced by Riversong Productions for the Council on the Aging Queensland.
You're listening to Radio Kota.